All right, Eric Douglas, thanks for coming by, man.
Great to see you, Jim.
It's wonderful to see you.
We're going to just talk about old days and never actually get to the new stuff, are we?
We're not going to make a single point.
Story of my life.
There's not going to be a thing we said that's going to make any sense. You do so many different things. You're a scuba diver teacher. How did you get involved in all that?
You know, I'm still some days wondering about how this silly country boy from West Virginia ended up traveling the world because of scuba diving. I actually learned to dive here in West Virginia at Summersville Lake. Did my first 60 dives in Summersville before I ever made an ocean dive, actually. Mm-hmm. And it just turned out that I got a degree from Marshall in journalism. Like every other 20-year-old in the journalism school at the time, I wanted to work for National Geographic. That was my dream, and you know, I haven't checked that one off, but still work in that direction.
Yeah.
And I had thought to myself, okay, you know, when I got out of college, limited experience, nothing impressive on the resume, I thought, okay, what can I do that would make me more interesting to somebody like National Geographic? Mm-hmm. And the two things I thought of were I could learn to fly a plane and I could learn to scuba dive, just because when you read the stories, these guys have been all over and they're doing all this kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, one of those two things would probably help. And that's literally the reason I decided to learn to scuba dive, because learning to fly a plane was going to be way too expensive at the time. And I took up scuba diving, actually with a girlfriend of mine at the time. We learned to dive together. I don't know that she's dived since then, but
she's taken a dive in another
She's
way.
Taken a dive on diving.
You do the drum roll. Yeah. I told you, we're not going to get anything done.
And so I, you know, just started getting into diving, and it ended up just as I was earning my first professional level certification, I applied for a job out in California. Never expected to get it. With a scuba diving training agency. Never expected to even hear back from them. I suddenly did. A month later, I was going out for an interview, and a few weeks after that, I was moving to Southern California for a job.
What was this agency?
It's called PADI, the Professional Association of Diving Instructors. They're the largest scuba diving training agency in the world. We were creating manuals and training programs and videos and all this stuff, and it was a learning experience. I just went in and, like, kid in a candy store, you know, hey, we're going to do this today. Sure, I'm volunteering for everything coming down the pike. At the same time, I got intrigued by the idea of diving medicine, and there's a hyperbaric chamber that treats injured divers over on Catalina Island, and they have a volunteer system, so you could go over and volunteer to work on the crew, and I got involved in that, became a diver medic.
Wow.
And it just kind of took off from there. After that, I moved to North Carolina for about 12 years and worked for another group. It's called Divers Alert Network, and that I took over their training department and started doing all this, but I was still using my journalism background because I was developing training materials, I was writing manuals,
right,
and that kind of stuff. So it's still teaching, it's still telling stories, just mm-hmm. a different, you know, very kind of focused. And that ended up, I got to travel. I've been to, I think, 40, 45 countries because of scuba diving.
Where are some of the exotic places you've been?
I've been to South Africa twice. Probably the coolest place that I can tell you I've been to is Zanzibar. I've been to Dominica. I've been to Grand Cayman.
Wow.
Three times. I've been to Mexico five or six times now. Been to Brazil a couple times.
What's the most beautiful place that you think that you've ever dived?
You know, well, actually, the standard answer or joke for that is the next place.
You adventurer, you wanderer.
It's always about the next place. It's never, what's behind me is not important.
That's probably true. You probably do have that.
I do. I tell you what, the diving, and this will sound strange to you, the diving that I miss the most that I haven't done in several years is Southern California, is the kelp forests. Diving through kelp forests in California is like, I always tell people it's like the scene in, I think it was the second Star Wars movie, where they're like flying through the trees, through the big forest on the speeders. For me, that's what it's like, because you're swimming through these 60, 70-foot tall kelp plants, but they go from the bottom to all the way to the surface of the ocean, and the sunlight's glistening down from them, and it's just magical. It's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. It's cooler water. I mean, it's in the water in the 50s and 60s. But so that's what some people, you know, I tell them I miss Southern California diving. They're like, wouldn't you rather go to the Caribbean where the water's 85 degrees and you can, you know, all you have to wear is a swimsuit? But no, I that's probably the diving I miss the most right now is Southern California.
Is there an experience that kind of comes to mind during diving? Because you got to know exactly what you're doing.
Hostile environment and your own life support equipment, basically. I mean, it's you're 100 feet underwater, and if you run out of air, you're in serious trouble. I was actually teaching a class. These were advanced students. They were already certified. So, you know, when you're teaching somebody who's already certified, you're not as worried about monitoring their air, that kind of thing. They're supposed to be responsible for themselves to a degree. But I was teaching this class and had students out doing a couple things. And one of them comes up to me, and we're in about 70 feet of water, and he had run out of air on him.
Eric says that even experienced divers, discovering they've run out of air under 70 feet of water, begin to panic.
You know, even though you've practiced those drills and I've taught people what to do in those situations,
yes.
It's hairy. As a diver, you always have an additional regulator. You have an octopus regulator. In this case, for some reason, my octopus got stuck for a moment. And I actually pulled out my regulator out of my own mouth and gave it to him so he could breathe.
Yes.
And then I was able to fight and get my own octopus out. I put my own octopus in.
Even though both men are now fine, it's crucial to prevent the panic diver from too rapid an ascent. And how do you regulate the speed of your ascension?
You grab hold of them. You know,
is that right?
You're going to get up, and you're going to hold on tight, and you're going to hold on close, and you're going to, you know, just slowly swim up. You don't use your equipment to rise up or anything else. You want to make it slow, and you want to actually slow them down, because absolutely he's going to want to bolt. And that's a great way to get hurt. You get your mask 3 inches from theirs, you stare in their eyes, take
We're
a deep
good.
Breath, and relax.
Yeah. So it all worked out well then.
All worked out well. That's one of the standard jokes is, you know, we went out on a dive and I didn't kill anybody today. but in that instance, it was like, all right. So I almost did.
Yeah.
I think he went on to become a dive instructor later. Mm-hmm. So
that's a great
story.
Just
one of those near misses that turned out okay.
Yeah, that's a keeper.